Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Tuesday, December 3rd, 2024. Today we'll resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the chapter How It Works. And on page 62, the second paragraph, beginning with, "So our troubles, we think," and reading through that one paragraph, ending with, "We had to have God's help." Today's readers are Jen P., the 12 Steps, Karen W., the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Kathy S., reading the text, Nancy P., on page 164, and Ashley F. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Chris W., and our second hour moderator is Christine G. The share IDs for Monday, December 2nd, 2024 are 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 21,959. That's 21,959. And 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21,960. 21,960. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Jen.
Okay. Hey, thanks. My name is Jen P. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater from New Jersey and grateful to do service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Jen. I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Sheree, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group but never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Love to all. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter How It Works on page 62, the second paragraph, beginning with, "So our troubles, we think," and reading through that one paragraph ending with, "We had to have God's help." I will now ask Kathy F. to begin reading.
Thanks, Rick. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. And there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. This paragraph really gets down to, again, this idea of powerlessness. Powerlessness over my life, over my thinking. The doctor's opinion, so eloquent, talks about the first part of powerlessness in our physical allergy. And that's why I came in here. I was powerless over food. I just couldn't control it. But here in this big book, what we really get down to is the bigger part of the equation, and that's my thinking and the mental obsession that goes into it. Our trouble. The good news is that both the trouble and the solution are right here. The trouble is of my own making. And I have, although I didn't believe this when I did do the inventory process, and as I continue to grow in doing 10 steps, anytime I'm disturbed, I find that, yeah, my troubles really are basically of my own making. It has something to do with the way that I'm perceiving a situation. I do show myself in page 108 in the
big book where it talks about the strange world of alcoholism, where everything is distorted and exaggerated. That pretty much sums up my thinking. And it's typically all about me, the way that I see something. And so a lot of it is like when I'm disturbed, I'm often looking at a situation incorrectly. It's through filters, through distrust in what's happening, or my own, I impose my own judgment and I get an idea. And what I have found through the inventory process is I have to look at things through a new angle. I have to, or it kills me. You know, we have to learn in this program and in life, I have to learn to die to self, or I'm going to die of self by at the hands of myself. And so the other thing that comes to mind is I can't do this. We realize that, you know, like with the physical allergy, I can't control it. If I'm ingesting those foods, I'm totally powerless because of my allergy, but I'm totally powerless over any convictions I have or ideas or goals. I have to have God's help. And the good news is, like, deep down within every man, woman, and child is that fundamental idea of God. It's often obscured by calamity, pomp, and or worship of other things, and I can uncover, discover, and discard all those things by, again, doing the steps, doing this inventory process, and then I can connect to God and his power. I can see something in a new way. I can trust that God truly is in control and that I'm okay. I really am learning to believe in God's love for me, and to the degree that I do believe in that and trust in that, I'm really okay. I can make it through anything. And I'm already out of time. This is a great paragraph. Can't wait to hear how everyone else wants to share on it. And thanks for letting me share, Atas.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Kathy. All right. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, if you share it on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your first name, first initial. Who would like to get on the share list?
Elena C.
Riska R.
Elena C.
Carolyn S.
Okay.
Ginger C. from Colorado.
Did you get
Elena
Riska
C.
R?
Okay, so I think I have Riska R, Elena C, Ginger C. Was there a Carolyn?
Yes, Carolyn S.
Okay, so
hey Rick,
I know I've missed a bunch of people. So who is that?
Reba P.
Christina J. I put my name in pretty early.
Oh, hey, Christina. Okay.
Reba P.
Reba. And who else? All right, that's a good
Janice.
Lineup.
Oh, Majo from Massachusetts.
Okay.
I can wait.
Okay, no, it's fine. No, it's fine. I don't need to prevent anybody from talking on this first one. I just want to make sure I got everybody. So, I've got Riska R. Elena C, Carolyn S, Ginger C, Reba P, Christina J, Reba P, Janice PM, and Marjo. All right. Riska, you're up first, followed by Elena C. Go ahead, Riska, and please remember to include where you're calling from.
Thanks so much, Rick. Am I still unmuted?
I hear you, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Okay, yes. Riska R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. So glad to be back. I've been away for a month helping one of my daughters who had just had a baby. And anyway, I just absolutely, these paragraphs have changed my life. I cannot tell you the absolute relief I felt the first time that I read these paragraphs. Like selfishness, self-centeredness, that was the root of my problem. I couldn't reduce my self-centeredness by my own power. Like, I know some people are offended by being called out on the root of the problem, but to me, it was like a breath of fresh air. Like, finally, someone was telling me the truth about myself that than in my heart of hearts I knew all along. And it didn't mean I was a bad person. You know, I tried to be a nice and giving person, but I knew I could never live up to my own, you know, moral and philosophical and even religious convictions. Like, you know, I would listen to stories of people who had real self-sacrifice for others, and I would be amazed, like, how do they do that? And I was the person who would take the crispiest piece of chicken, even if I knew you wanted it. Like, I would get the most and the best for myself. I had to make sure I had enough and get what I wanted before I thought of you. And I wanted to have a loving spirit, but I couldn't if you got me upset. And I hated that about myself. Like, I hated that I would choose comfort over character, but I was powerless to change. And to hear that I can't reduce my self-centeredness on my own, I need God's help, like, wow, like, that's a relief. It didn't mean that I didn't do things for others, but I knew I was like a give-to-get person. Like, and it doesn't mean like I'm a completely selfless person now. I'm still high maintenance. I'm still concerned about, you know, having the food I need to eat and my sleep and my need for quiet time. And, you know, I'm an introvert, so being around lots of people is draining for me. But it does mean that I can ask God what his will is for me today. I can stop and say, God, if you want me to have this, I will. And if I don't, I won't. And that's okay. Like, I can give you the crispiest piece of chicken or whatever and like not feel like I'm giving up a part of myself. Like, I can feel uncomfortable feelings and know that there's something in me that needs to be changed and not you. And I can feel a fear and trust and rely on my Creator. And even if I'm like 1% less focused on myself and open up that awareness of God being the director in my life, like, I get a power and relief that I never knew possible. And with God, what I get is so much more than I give. I love what someone says on this line all the time. It says, no God, no peace, N-O, and no God, no peace, K-N-O-W. Like, it's so true, and I'm so grateful for that. For that ability to today to see things from a different perspective. And thanks so much, everybody, for being here. I pass.
All right. Thank you so much, Reshka R. from Maryland. Elena C., you're up next, followed by Carolyn S. Go ahead, Elena.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. All these paragraphs are emphasizing how my self-absorption, as someone put it yesterday in the comments here, and that was an extreme preoccupation with me, myself, and Elena, meaning, oh, this is what I need now, you know, and this is what you did to me, and what about me, and those kind of things. And I never thought that would be a problem until I got here. I have 22 years of recovery in Al-Anon, and that was never made so clear. You know, in Al-Anon, I worked on my selflessness, but my selflessness, as some thoughts occurred to me, an intuition that I had yesterday, was focusing on other people, not knowing myself, so focusing on other people, but still kind of, so then I can benefit. I wanted other people to change so I can benefit. So my selflessness was actually selfishness. So thank you, God, that I'm here, and I am reminded that every time I am preoccupied with me, myself, and Elena, and think of why did those people do that to me, I need to shift. I need to pause. I need to say, wait a minute, something is not right. And I can see that today. Not all the time. And when I do that, pause, and like it says here, I have to have God's help. I can't just pause and I can shift. I again. I've got to have another entity that's higher than me, more powerful than me, because I'm not powerful. I'm powerless, as the reader said. And when I know that, and when I practice that, then I shift, and my troubles are not there anymore. because I get out of my finite self and I put my mind and my shift my attention in the universe, and I think about you and I think about what you might need and I think about what I might do for you today. You know, I have a day when my daughter is struggling and I have clients, and you know, and I have to take care of myself too, but my self-care today is having God. And when I do that, I can be of service for my wonderful, amazing girl who's transforming. And if I am not using my recovery, that's not going to be good for her. It's not going to be good for her. She still needs good parenting. And I can only be a good parent with God's help. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And that was Elena C. from South Carolina. All right, Carolyn S., you're up next, followed by Ginger C. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Good morning. This is Carolyn S. from New York, recovered compulsive overeater. I was looking at these pages right before, and the pages were on. And at some point, I must have been at a meeting or a retreat, and somebody said, every time you see self, cross it off and put my or me. And so when I read it that way, so my troubles, I think, are basically of my own making. They arise out of myself. And the alcoholic is an extreme example. Oh, this doesn't really work, but my own will run riot. So when I do that for several paragraphs, it brings it home. This is, you know, they're not going to say it with you, but, you know, if I've got the right perspective and the right mindset, you know, I realize this is all like, directly to me. And they say in here in this paragraph, we must get rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. And, you know, certainly with alcoholics, that could very literally be true. And actually also with compulsive eaters, you know, I've heard about people lost in this program, you know, because they were too big to get out of the house during a fire, or, you know, many forms of disease that can come from obesity, you know, whether it's heart attack, stroke, and diabetes. This is a serious illness that we're fighting. But I'm grateful because I know that it's an illness. I no longer feel like it's all my fault. When I found program, I really did come home because suddenly, you know, I understood and was being understood in a way I'd never had before. Because, you know, all the diet buddies over the years, they were not, you know, like me. They were not truly a compulsive overeater who would eat to the point of pain. And then as soon as I could start eating again, would. I didn't throw up, but that was because I couldn't figure out how to make it work, literally. So, I mean, it's all these paragraphs around here, it's just self, self, self. So what is my real problem? I'm powerless. And what happens if I don't find God? I try to assert non-existent power, and I fail over and over again because I'm not in charge. I'm not meant to be in charge. I'm God's child, not vice versa. So God is the one who makes the decisions, and I do my best to follow them. So every day my prayer is to know and do God's will, and that is mostly being of service. So when I get lost in, you know, the bog of selfishness and self-pity and self-centeredness, you know, I you know, try to remind myself, God, what is your will? And it's never keep on, you know, sulking and feeling sorry for yourself. It's always, you know, do something. Like, you know, what is the next right thing to do? And when I get on that, you know, start thinking, and I feel like a warmth in my gut, which says, okay, this is God's will. And
just a reminder.
Okay, and that's what I shoot for. Thank you, and I'll pass.
All right, thank you, Carolyn S. from New York. Ginger C., you're up next, followed by Reva P. Go ahead, Ginger.
Hey, good morning, Rick. So good to hear your voice. Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater, and thank you, everyone, for doing service this morning. And today, with God's amazing grace, I am on my second week of abstinence. And we had to have God's help. Many of you know that I have been in a horrific relapse. I was approaching 5 years of eating, and I just has blown my mind. Every time in the past, I've been in OA for a long time, 30-plus years, but when I would eat and binge and relapse, maybe it was 3 months, 6 months, but it was never anything like this. And it just blows my mind. I went away sort of like a treatment because I knew I was dying and scared to death. And I just prayed for 3 days straight, God, you have got to help me. And didn't stop praying. It's sort of like Emmett Fox's with the golden key out of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, this constant prayer and thinking of God and screaming and shouting, please, please help me. And it's just unbelievable how his impact on me was sudden and profound and what happened. And now today, you know, my sponsor tells me, Ginger, it's one day at a time, and that's all I have. But today is another day that I'm waking up and I'm clean and clear. And I just can't believe that this might be ending, this nightmare. So my message is really to the person who's suffering, because I know many are more suffering on the line and outside our doors, and just don't give up before this miracle. It is about a higher power, and I need God in every aspect of every angle of my life. Without God's help, I cannot do this. And I also never took step one with all those 30-plus years in OA. I never conceded fully, and that idea that somehow, someday I'll be different and I'll be okay and I'll be immune, or I can have this or I can have that, it has to be smashed. It has to be put down. No, you are different, Ginger, from normal people. You are a real compulsive overeater. You cannot F around with this. You take that one tiny piece, and it's going to put you right back into a chocolate cake. And so I am so grateful that God did for me this first step. It was unbelievable. I'm still in shock and awe over my experience of what I just went through. And I am just shouting out the good news. Thank God there's a higher power. Thank God it's down deep within us. I have to pray, seek, ask, connect. And like a friend always says, you take a step towards this source and the source starts running towards you. So grateful to be back again, you guys. I love you all, and thank you for your prayers. I know many of you have been thinking of me through this relapse.
Thank you so much. That's Ginger C, and she's from Colorado. All right, Reba P, you are up next, followed by Christina J. And just please a reminder to include where you're calling from when you introduce yourselves. Go ahead, Reba.
Hey, good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. So my troubles are of my own making. I really was offended when I first read those lines, and it's no coincidence that these pages are practically falling out of my book, because I can't tell you how many times I have been referred back to pages 60 to 63. And I guess as I'm reading this and hearing the shares, you know, transitioning to the third step prayer, you know, if I'm going to turn my will and my life, my thinking, my actions over to a power, I knew things weren't working when it came to the food. But these paragraphs are just hitting home. And I didn't know the specifics of my selfishness before I started doing inventory, but I knew something wasn't right. I knew I was banging into walls, like trying to get my way and not getting my way. So self-will, what does it say? The quality of obstinately doing what one wants in spite of the wishes of others. That's what I was doing, and I didn't think I was doing it. So two things really strike me. That self will run riot. It's not going to work, and it'll eventually kill me because I'll as my solution to all the discomfort of knowing I'm pushing people when they don't want to be pushed and controlled. But that I can't even get rid of self will by myself. I can't will myself out of self will. I can't will myself out of my defects. So it's almost like a powerlessness with the greater aspect of my disease. And I'll tell you now, I'm doing lots of inventory on my kids who are not kids, they're adults, and they're not doing what I want them to do. So thank you, God. Thank you, God, if I am the problem, that's something I can take care of through these steps. The only thing I can change, the only person I can change is me. I can't change everybody else in the world. And the reminder that my serenity, my peace, beyond the food, right, beyond the food, has to do with me getting comfortable with my internal environment and aligning my will with God's will. There's nothing wrong with will. I just was using it incorrectly, and I tend to want to use it in the way that I want to use it. It's about aligning it with this power and trusting that God's will is right, not just for others, but for me. Everybody wins when I'm in alignment, and it doesn't feel like I'm banging into walls. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. And Christina J., before you jump on here, just a reminder where we're all at. We are on page 62. We're on the second paragraph, beginning with, "So our troubles we think," reading that one paragraph, and ending with, "We had to have God's help." All right, Christina J., you're up, followed by Reva P. Go ahead, Christina. Christina, go ahead and hit star one to unmute. Okay. Okay, so I just got a word that she might not be able to come on right now, but we'll swing back around and try her in just a little bit. All right, so Reva P., you go ahead, and we'll check back in with Christina. All right, Reva, go ahead.
Rick, I think Reva just...
Oh, sorry. All right, hold on just a minute. Okay, I see that. Okay, a little discombobulated here. Janice P.M.
That's okay, Rick. You're doing a great job. Yeah. Pardon me. My name is Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater for today, and I am from Massachusetts. Well, when I first read this, I said, oh, boy, this is new to me. This is new information. I just couldn't think that I was the problem. I mean, if you only knew, right? My life. That's why I was always searching and cramming the food in my mouth so that I would be comfortable. Nobody did that for me. I was in control of that. You know, I had such distorted behavior. My thinking, my reality was me, myself, and I. I was a spoiled little girl, and I wanted what I wanted. And no, you couldn't tell me that it was my fault. I would go, yeah, but you don't know. Yeah. So, you know, self-will run riot was very hard for me to overcome. I couldn't conquer it. I constantly was searching, you know, and that's all about me. Self-will run riot. I just couldn't overcome self-will. I had no humility. I was full of pride. Pride. That's where that all came from. That so I learned from the book. My self-will, my selfishness, my self-centeredness came from me, my pride, my high self-esteem or my low self-esteem. It was all about me. Yeah, I didn't cause this disease, but I can change and live in recovery. You know, it's not, I'm not responsible for the disease in the beginning, but I'm responsible for my recovery. I resisted my pride, et cetera. Yeah, okay, but I know today, and I think this is so, well, this is what I found out, that until I could honestly look at Janice and see that I was the problem. in many situations, in many circumstances, because I wanted to fix you. I wanted to control you. I wanted to manage. I wanted to manage my food plan. I wanted to manage everything. I was like a god, you know? That's the problem in many situations. And then I reacted inappropriately until I could discard my expectations of my husband, what he should wear, how he should look, what he should do, how he should talk. I mean, until I could discard that my expectations of people, you know, my expectations of my weight, of what I should be wearing, everything, and understand that my real serenity, my real peace of mind was directly proportional to what I thought. So So to me, the solution is acceptance. And then three times in this paragraph, thank you, Rick, I must have God's help. I can't do it myself with my own sick mind. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
All right, thanks so much, Janice Tien from Massachusetts. All right, Christina J., you are up, and then you'll be followed by Marjo. Go ahead, Christina.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for holding my spot. Everybody, you know, if you're out there like I was and you came in because of the food, couldn't get out of the food. I mean, I came to so many hundreds of OA meetings not getting out of the food. When it came to vision, I started hearing a different message, and I didn't understand that message, you know. Like, what do you mean I'm self-centered, selfish? Are you kidding me? I am not dishonest. What? I just couldn't even fathom it, you know. And I knew I had fear, but I had no idea about this stuff. I just wanted the food down. And I knew when I first came into my first vision meeting, you guys have heard this, that I heard that, you know, the sunlight of the spirit was the thing. And I was like, oh, I want that. That's what I'm missing. Little did I know that in between the sunlight of the spirit and my heart opening was these very things y'all are talking about, selfishness, self-centeredness, dishonesty. I couldn't even fathom any of that until I started the program, which I didn't even know I was going to be looking at these things. And then we got to that fourth step, and I saw all this stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, all my resentments are attached to being selfish, to being it all about me and what I want in life. And dishonest, and they were all rooted in the fear that I wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough. And can you see that? I mean, I didn't see it. I thought I was a good person, but I didn't realize what was driving me was I so needed love. I so needed love and validation. The wound from my childhood turned into this huge, ever-encompassing monster that drove every bit of me and almost took me to death. Thank God. God cared about me. He brought me to a program that unveiled all of this crap. And it's, you know, it was all a survival tool. I don't particularly like character defects, character survival mechanisms that weren't healthy, maybe. But, you know, so what a great gift this program is. If you're out there confused and everything, like I was a deer in the headlights, so that kind of saved my ass, being a deer in the headlights, just doing what my sponsor said. So I was very grateful to do what she said, but then for years I struggled in and out of relapse, wondering what am I holding on to? It wasn't a resentment that I wouldn't get rid of. It was a career I wouldn't let go of. It was what I thought God wanted me to do. It was all based in self. You know, it was all based in self. Now that that's cleared away, I am so freaking free. I am free inside my heart. I'm so grateful. I'm so peaceful. I'm so peaceful. And I see other people out there struggling and pushing and shoving, not only in a music career, but other ways, and I just have compassion. Because I had to be stripped of the food and stripped of myself and selfishness. And I'm not totally stripped. Stuff comes up every day. That's how I continue to get well. I'm so grateful for this program. And keep the hope. Keep the hope and faith and keep coming back. I can't emphasize that enough. Don't ever leave, no matter how deep you are, how deep you are in the food or whatever, keep coming back. The message will sink in. Love you all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Christina J., and she's from North Carolina. Janice, sorry, you've already spoke. Marjo, you are up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Marge. Marjo, hit star one to unmute. Okay. Not hearing from Marge, but I'll definitely swing back around to see if Marjo's available. Of course, the way my morning's going, I don't know. I'm all over the place. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter How It Works on page 62, the second paragraph, beginning with So Our Troubles, We Think, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with We Had to Have God's Help. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. And please give me your first, your name and first initial. Who would like to share now?
Ross Sam.
Ken W.H.
Rita R.
Okay, I've got Russ M., Ken W.H., Rita R. Okay.
Lisa D. in Rhode Island.
Lisa D. Okay. I'll get one more for now, and then we'll see what kind of time we have. Anybody else want to share on this paragraph? All right. Russ M., you're up, followed by Ken W.H. Go ahead, Russ.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, family. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater. Norristown, PA, outside of Philly. So, you know, I love this meeting. I love everybody. I love this book. I'm all about the love and enjoying this meeting because it's gotten me healthy. It's part of it. And I want to say something real clever. And I know one thing that I couldn't figure out why the hell I destroyed my life. When I hear that self-will run riot, it's the truth. Because I've tried. I tried. It wasn't my intention to destroy relationships, steal, walk all over people, and just, you know, to get that hit. Like, I really wasn't trying to do that. I was trying to be a good guy. Why? I have no clue. I still can't understand it when I get wrapped up sometimes with trying to review where I was and where I am. But that's the way that had to go. And I had to be broken, man. You know, I thought I had everything figured out, and I could still slip into it today. If I don't pray that prayer and surrender every day, that third step prayer, if I don't surrender every part of my life, I'm going back to that. I'm just out of the food, and I'm just going to be beating up people. And I'm going to walk on people, and I'm going to fail again. I'm going to fail emotionally, spiritually, physically, anything I put my efforts to, if I do it on my will, forget about it. I'm going to get in guts and glue. I'm getting nothing. I have to surrender every day. When I read that, I need God's help. Not because I'm holier than thou. Not because I'm on this moral high spot, peak of a mountain, and I'm looking down at people. No, because I'm a broken, screwed up junkie. And that's the only way I'm going to do it. And I'm seeing it even more and more now, being almost 8 years clean. It gets intenser. Things shift. More things irritate me. I need to get better in many, many different ways. We're just scratching the surface. So I need God's help. This passage is key for Russ Montalbano. I'm not doing a thing on this earth without God's guidance, help, and me surrendering. And the way it goes is the way it goes. And I can't be a big-ass baby, and I got to accept life where it is, use the 10th step, and work these steps like my life depends on it, because it really does. It really does. All right, I don't know if that made any sense, but this is on my heart, that I'm a broken man, and I have nothing if I don't have God, like, controlling the whole deal. So y'all have a great day. Thank you, Rick, for taking me. Appreciate everybody.
Thanks so much, Russ. All right, Ken W.H., you're up next, followed by Rita R. Go ahead, Ken.
Thanks, Rick. This is Ken W.H. Glad to be here today. Thank you for your service. Bondage of self, relieving me of the bondage of self is what I'm going to be praying for here shortly, before every day, actually.
It's getting a little bit hard to hear you for whatever reason. It just your volume kind of went down. If there's anything you can do to kind of lift your volume back up, that'd be awesome.
All of us, I must get rid of this selfishness, or I'll die. It's not getting so much getting rid of self. It's getting rid of the distorted self, as I understand it, the distorted me. I do exist by the miracle of reproduction. I am an entity. I am for real. I do have a self, and it's been so distorted by my addictions over the years that it's just absolutely ridiculous. Such a distortion, and that's bondage of self. It's just a distortion of my understanding of who I am, and that I am, in fact, a miracle, God's creative power. And I'm not really, as much as I have thought it all my life, I am not the hole in a donut, unintended, I guess. I am not the Humpty Dumpty who fell off the wall, and not only could they not put me back together, but they couldn't even find all the pieces. I'm not that person. I am something that God is interested in, and I'm grateful for that. He's interested in every single one of us as far as I'm concerned. And it seems to me that, for me, what I've come to understand is that the steps, the kind of a goal of the steps is for me to be of maximum usefulness. This self has maximum usefulness to God and others. If it's all about me, there's no place for you or God. It's the distortion of self. The self will run riot in me that is the problem. And it's kind of like perfection, which is an ideal to reach for, but it's the distortion of it, perfectionism, that I must be rid of. It's that all that brokenness, all that false sense of self, false sense of identity and everything else in me, I had to come to understand myself as something, someone worthy of God's love and care. And so today I think more in terms of self-care in a very, very positive sense, that by doing these steps, by coming to these meetings, and being of maximum usefulness to God and others.
Just a reminder.
Best thing I can do for myself, and for myself, and that helps me to put aside this need to be in control and to flaunt my distorted self. That's all I got. Thanks, Rick. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. Thank you so much, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Rita R., you're up next, followed by Lisa D. Go ahead, Rita.
Yes, good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. I just want to thank everyone today. As soon as this meeting's over, I'm going to be listening to this meeting again today because this is definitely, definitely me. And I've gotten something from every single one of your shares. You know, I am... I have such an over demand for security, for approval, for esteem, for status seeking, you know. Oh my gosh, I can remember myself playing basketball and wanting to be number one. And, you know, thank you for somebody who shared, you know, just even in my giving and my self-sacrifice, it was always me first, even if I was being of service. And, you know, the beauty of this program, and I am looking forward to it, and I am getting glimpses of it, glitters of it, is the desire to want to help even more. And that's when I'm out of the way, because that's definitely that's definitely higher power. And looking at this paragraph, for me, it all has to be about action. I can't get rid of self, and I can't reduce my self-centeredness by wishing or trying. So just a recent example of this is, you know, being on meetings on a Saturday, being in my PJs, and then just like, oh my gosh, wanting to, okay, you know, self-will wanting to take over, and just praying, God, please remove this selfishness, and, you know, taking the steps. And boy, did I have a great day for the rest of the day. And somewhere in maybe the 12 and 12, it says, you know, God, I am just like this, or this is who I am. This is just who I am, and only God can change me. And just a reminder that, you know, I'm constantly not doing the things that I want to do and doing the things I don't want to do. And I need to have God's help with that every day. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Rita R. And could you tell us where you're calling from, please?
Massachusetts.
Thank you. All right. And I have Felicia D., not Lisa D. Thanks, everybody, for letting me know. So, Felicia D., you're up next, and then we'll see where we're at. Go ahead, Felicia.
Hi, Felicia D., and I'm from Rhode Island. And thank you so much for everyone for your service. For me, I spent a lot of years in program thinking I was working on all of this and being very focused on tasks and the next thing to do, but not understanding that it was still trying to propel myself and it was still all about self. And I'm just so grateful that I have a God that is patient and is kind and lets me bang my head against the wall and gives me gentle, quiet reminders of how it could be different and lets me choose whether or not to move forward in that direction. And for me, I have to slow down to really hear the soft, quiet nudges, I guess, if you will, that are just completely contrary to how I would kind of get suited up and go out for battle. My head can just whirl so fast, and I can just get caught up in fear, and I can get caught up in thinking I know, like, what's the right thing, and I can get really sucked into thinking the delusion that I know what God wants me to do when it's really my own. And I'm just so grateful that the program, the 10, 11, and 12, give me this chance to get quiet and to sometimes hear things. The first time it happened, I heard, like, what if you were just, and I'm just not very quiet. And I was like, I went to my sponsor and was like, do you think that's God? And she was so sweet. She was like, it might be. And, you know, when I'm presented with an opportunity to lean in, I don't always take it, but when I do, good things happen. And I've spent a lot of time lately in just kind of realizing and remembering that another part of this is I don't get to come in here and do all this work just so that my life can be easy and I can, as an addict, get caught up in wanting ease and comfort. And sometimes I can work my program really vigorously and still have hard things in life happen, because that's just life. And God's not going to just be like Santa Claus and take it away, but he's going to help me to be able to be okay and not to get paralyzed by fear and anxiety and not to make things worse by getting involved. And so I'm just really trying to lean in, and it's making a difference, and it continues to be miraculous to me the way that God shows up. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Felicia D. from Rhode Island. All right, that's really all the time we have today. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. My share ID for today, Tuesday, December 2nd, 2024, is 21,940. That's 21,940. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Nancy P. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Rick. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Sorry. I decided now was a good time to empty my dishwasher. Okay. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Mostly recovered, or else I wouldn't have forgotten. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.